This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're anything like me, you are always trying to learn something new, and that is why I love Rosetta Stone so much. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. With its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Blaise has been learning German with Rosetta Stone and is so cool to watch because as someone who speaks German, I get to see how he learns the different pronunciations, how excited he gets when he gets something right, and the phrases that he's learning we're going to be able to use next time we visit Germany and Austria. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, and that's why We Drink listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/drink. That's rosettastone.com/drink.
Oh, look, we're recording.
Hello. Oh, folks,
we should try to harmonize at some point. Not today.
That would be super pretty.
I think in theory, if anyone else besides us did it, it would.
Okay, fair. Well, welcome everyone to our April episode. It is April Fool's Day, and we forgot to fool you once again.
God damn it! We really should have made Allison and Blaise do this.
Every year we mean to do that one more time because it seemed to go pretty well the first time.
Quickly, before we record this, should we just make them do it?
Oh my god. Let me call Blaise back from the hospital real quick.
Okay, got it. He's not doing anything right now.
I don't think he has anything more important to do than this, so.
I wish we had thought of something creative to do. I wish my first thought was, I'll just pretend to be you the whole time, but that won't work.
LOL, too late. I guess maybe we'll do something on our social media. Go look there.
Eva, can you write down for April 1st, 2021 that we should do something creative? Because I'm embarrassed that the two most creative people in the world have not done something for the second year in a row.
A really bold statement to call us the two most creative people in the world, but okay.
You're welcome, by the way, also.
Thanks for that. I'm assuming I'm number two, right?
One and a half,
how nice. My cat is trying to get out the door. Hold on. This is my April Fool's.
I am the fool.
Okay. I skedaddled him.
Maybe what we could do is we could read them all, but then upload it backwards, and then they have to find a way to reverse it to listen to it.
Oh, God. And then this will be at the end of the episode, and they'll probably fucking hate us by this point.
I'm kind of
say we're the most creative people in the world.
Okay, you know, before you said that, I was serious. But yeah, okay, never mind.
I don't know. We'll find something. Also, Eva, don't write it for April 1st. Write it for like February 1st so that next year we have 2 months to really
get up a notch.
Remember. Yeah, exactly. But at this point, all we have for you
is our story. We are the fools.
Well, what else is new?
Yeah. I'm also going to take this moment to say happy birthday to my mom. She was supposed to be an April Fool's baby, but then came late. So last of the fools.
She just missed the cut. Now she's the most wise person I ever met.
Yes. Now she's the post fool. Anyway.
That's what they call her.
Hi. Moving on. Hello. Welcome to our listeners episode for April. This is our fourth one of the year.
Mm-hmm. This is the first one we've ever done apart.
Exactly. We're a whole quarter... A quarter of the year done now.
Oh my. Well, not yet. We have to get through this shit first
because then that'll be a whole third.
One, two, three. Oh, we're currently quarter. Got it. My math is clearly not on point.
Yeah, I'm the smart one. Can you watch it real quick?
You're the most creative. You're the smartest. I'm just a big old dumb brick.
Give me 5 minutes and I'll find a way to compliment myself. again.
oh, I know.
So if you are new here, this is our listeners episode. We put one out on the first of every month where you can submit your stories to andthatswhywedrink.com, or you can email them to andthatswhywedrink@gmail.com, and make sure to write like listener story in the subject title. And we read your personal true crime and paranormal stories.
Yay.
Today I'm going to start off with one from someone named Jordy, who uses she, her pronouns. And Jordy says, I'll say the title first. A murderer slept in my bed.
Oh.
Okay, Jordy.
Okay.
You don't need to be dramatic like that. So,
me?
No, Jordy.
Oh, I was like, sorry, I'll tone it down. I'm dumb.
A dumb dramatic brick.
I'm a dumb dramatic brick. Fuck me.
The trifecta, I like to call you.
Okay, I'm sorry, continue.
No, you're good. So Jordy says, hello, Eva, Christine, M, and the whole And That's Why We Drink family.
Hello.
First, I want to say that you were amazing at your show in Burlington, Vermont. Oh, aka the very last show we've ever performed.
That's true.
Yes, thank you. I enjoyed my time in Vermont.
I did too.
That was the last time I traveled. It was one to remember.
There was snow there.
There was snow there. One for the books. Mm-hmm. I was so excited to see you guys, and I got the chance to, and I'm glad I got the chance to before COVID-19 shut you down. Us too. I hope you get a chance to get back on the road again, but I also hope everyone is healthy and safe. I have been wanting to send you this story for a while, and since you gave us a free-for-all this time around, I figured this was a perfect time.
Good.
Finally, we're now open-minded to whatever stories come in.
Maybe, so. Maybe that was my April Fool's. I was like, just do whatever you want.
I want to preface this by saying I was not in the bed with the murderer. Thank God.
Thank God.
I was usually not home when he would sleep in my bed. I want to protect the privacy of everyone involved, so I will be using fake names. I will attach the news article at the bottom if you want more details. In 2015, I was in college and living in a two-bedroom apartment with two other girls, and let's call them A and J. Okay. Surprisingly, not A and B. J and I.
Not everyone's the most creative person in the world, okay? Jesus.
Or the smartest, clearly. J and I shared a bedroom, but I was usually spending the night at my boyfriend's, now fiance's, house. Jay worked at a fast food restaurant, and I was close friends with a coworker we will call Ron. Okay, Ron gets a whole name. Great. Mm. Jay and Ron would hang out frequently, and Jay would invite Ron to our place a lot, but Ron didn't have consistent housing. So Ron was a nice guy, a little socially awkward, but so was Jay, so I didn't think anything of it. When Ron would come over to hang out, he would spend the night in my bed since I wasn't there and wasn't using it. Only once or twice was I there when he slept over, and he would sleep on the couch. In 2016, we graduated and I moved out, and Jay moved into a different apartment, but she continued to have Ron over and stayed in touch with him. I stayed close with Jay and we would hang out every once in a while. In 2017, in late August, I had my friend Jay over for some drinks. She started into the conversation as such. Hey, remember Ron? He's in jail now. Want to guess why?
What a fun game.
That is a fun game. I was a little shocked that he was in jail, so my first guess was drugs. Nope, try again. So I tried burglary, and Jay said very quickly, nope, murder. Oh. I was speechless. My first reaction was, of course, to get all the details as possible. Yes, good job.
For Christina and M. Got it.
For us. But I couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that I knew a murderer. Jay told me the story the best she could at the time because details were still sketchy. In early 2017, Ron and his boyfriend were living in a tent in the middle of the woods. Ron and his boyfriend had a falling out, and at the time, Jay heard from Ron's family members that it was because Ron suspected his boyfriend of being a pedophile.
What?
Oh, boy. In June, Ron shot his boyfriend in the head. In the head. Oh, at their campsite. At their campsite, waited for him to die, and then buried him there.
Oh, my God.
Also, if you have to wait for him to die.
That's so fucked.
That means you did not shoot him directly in the head or something. I don't know how that works, but I'm,
yeah, Em knows. Em's not the most medically profound person in the world, unfortunately.
But the
all of their skills.
Well, to be fair, in my mind, when I think of someone like intentionally cold blood murdering someone, there's no waiting for them to die. Like you just kill them instantly.
There's a lot of waiting to die because people usually kill people for the first time.
That's a good point. I guess I've just never seen the phrase waited for him to die in writing. So
that's very deeply disturbing.
Yeah, it's just like an extra layer to it.
What'd you do, play solitaire? Like,
did you watch? Yeah. Yikes. So waited for him to die and then buried him there. He then stole his car and money and drove back to his parents' house where he stayed for the next few months before he was caught.
Holy shit.
Wow. Can you imagine? Also, like, as the murderer, can you imagine, like, the anxiety of waiting just, like, to get caught?
Yeah, you're cornered, basically. Oh.
Yeah, like, you know someone's going to come looking for you. The boyfriend's family called the cops about a week after his disappearance and started a Facebook page to look for him. The family immediately blamed Ron, but they had no proof, so Ron got away with it for a few months. In July, my friend Jay reached out to Ron, not knowing any of this happened, and invited him to go hang out. Ron showed up, and they just hung out and watched Netflix. And when Jay asked, "Hey, I didn't know you had a car," Ron replied, "Yeah, it's my boyfriend's. He's letting me borrow it."
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Jay, of course, thought nothing of it and didn't know that the boyfriend had actually been dead for a few weeks now.
Ugh.
In August, ugh, gross.
I just got goose cam.
In August, Ron confessed to his sister what happened to his boyfriend, and his sister immediately called the cops and texted my old roommate, Jay. When Jay told me all this, I yelled, "You had a murderer at your house? He killed someone 3 weeks ago and then stayed at your house." And her response was, "Yeah, but I didn't know he was a murderer at the time." And Ron was arrested in August and is now serving 42 to life in jail, plus an additional 15 for grand theft for the car.
Whoa. Holy shit.
Told Jay that I don't trust her judgment of character, and now I'm very hesitant to meet any of her friends that I don't know personally. I know this isn't necessarily fair, but it's really jarring to think of all the times Ron was at our house or in my bed. And the whole time he was capable of doing what he did. I'm still friends with Jay, and we don't talk about Ron very much. I'm sorry this was long, but thank you for reading it. And then every Sunday you make my week.
Oh my God, that is just creepy.
Wow.
Creepy, creepy. That's my boyfriend's car. Oh, he's letting me borrow it. Oh.
It's always wild. I mean, not that I don't think I have any. I hope I don't have any friends that are murderers. I can't think of a time where I personally was in that situation. But yeah, it must be weird to like think you know somebody and they just have a totally double life. Like, you would have no idea the type of person they are.
Yeah, they're like that good at covering something up. Oh, spooky.
Yikes. Ugh. Thank you, Jordy, and also sorry.
Thank you, Jordy. Hope you're doing okay. Well, this next story is from, let's see, Ayla. Ayla says, "It's like Kayla without the K, and I use she, her pronouns."
Oh, hi, Ayla.
Ayla says, "I'm a longtime listener and have been waiting forever for an excuse to share this story." You guys don't need an excuse. Send it. We love it.
Send it on in. Send it on in.
This is your excuse right now. This is me giving you an excuse.
Welcome. Welcome to your excuse.
Okay.
The day of the fool.
The day of the fool is the time I finally shine. Okay. So that was me, not Ayla, to be clear. Okay. Ayla says, "I have been waiting for an excuse to share the story." So here we go. "I think my neighbor murdered his son, and now his ghost haunts my neighborhood." Okay. But let's start from the beginning. Okay. Okay. In 2014, I was living with my mom in a house in the country. Next door lived an older man, his wife, and their 35-year-old son. There's a whole bunch of backstory, but basically they were a really broken family, and the son lived in the barn and did work for his parents. All the time we heard screaming and fighting from next door, and at one point the dad was missing a front tooth, presumably from a fight. One morning my mom went out to feed the horses and came running back in screaming that the barn next door was on fire. Apparently there had been a fight the night before and the son had fallen asleep drinking and smoking. We went to try and help until the fire department came, but there wasn't much we could do. Oh my gosh. After they arrived, we stood with the dad watching the flames in complete and shocked silence. At this point, it became clear that the son had passed on." Oh my God.
Yikes.
"My mom turned to the dad and said, 'I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry.' He turned and looked her in the eye and verbatim said, 'It was a simple solution to our very difficult problems.'"
What? What? Did the dad murder his son?
I mean, she said in the first line, "I think my neighbor murdered his son."
I know, so but like, I know, but hearing this, like, I kind of didn't want to believe it. And now that's like some very clear evidence to me.
No, you're right. I mean, I got chills. And then she says, "I still get chills when I think about it. So fucking scary." Okay, just so if in case you missed that, the dad turned to her mom and said, "It was a simple solution to our very difficult problems."
Yikes.
As his son died in a fire. Okay. There was never a formal investigation, and it was ruled an accident. Within a few months, they sold the house, and a super kick-ass lady and her daughters moved in. However, it seems that not everyone moved out.
Ooh. Okay.
The spirit of the son lingers in the barn, which is now my neighbor's glass studio, and often creeps over to my house. Oh, boy.
Yikes.
You can't talk about the accident while in the barn without something turning on or off, feeling something stand right behind you, or tap your shoulder. Some of the things that have been experienced at my house are the heat constantly being set to 66 degrees, parentheses, we live in Oregon, so this one is extra annoying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. My friend and I were once planning a birthday party for her, and she made a joke about accidentally setting the house on fire. After that, every single lighter we'd gotten a new pack just for the party, except for the pink one, her favorite color, stopped working.
Oh, no. Like, it was trying to prevent for another fire happening.
This is, like, serious goose cam story right now.
Wow.
But I love that he let her keep her favorite color.
Yeah, he was like, okay, I'm going to take a few of these away, but you do what you need to.
Yeah, they're like a chaperone. Okay. The same friend ended up living at the house for a while and once woke up from a nightmare to find every single cupboard and drawer in the house open and every light turned on.
Absolutely not.
That's
some poltergeist shit.
Yep. He's done a mountain of weird shit and always seems to be the most active when there's a lot of activity going on in the house, but I've never felt scared of him. I think he just likes being a part of all the ruckus. Sorry this was so long. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you so much for all the giggles and gasps you provided me.
Wow.
Thank you, Ayla. That was short and terrifying, just how we like it.
Oh my gosh. And also, like, still blown away that, like, a potential murder happened. Like, how bad must it be with your kid to be like, what difficult problems are you having that murder is the only solution you can see?
Right. Well, and I mean, even if it wasn't intentional, to be so cold-hearted, to just be like, well, that was easy. It's like,
yeah, like, at least fake cry. Like, geez.
You're not even good at, right, faking it. Oh, that's so sad.
Ugh.
So sad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, moving on to our...
Why do I give specific instructions? Okay, I guess I did just tell everyone that this is their excuse to send whatever they want, so...
but also, he does seem like he's a chill ghost. He would have fit into, like, last month's category.
That's true, Em. That's true.
So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one-stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. And That's Why We Drink is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You won't want to miss Fluid Engine. This is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And I'll be honest, this is a game-changer. Back when I made the And That's Why We Drink website, I used Squarespace. This was obviously well before they were a sponsor, and we have used them ever since. And it's unbelievable how easy this tool is. Any of us on the team can log in and move some things around, update things. We don't need like a dedicated webmaster to figure it out for us because it's so accessible. I love Squarespace. I've made many websites with it before, and it's really easy to get started. You can get one of their Squarespace professional website templates to use. They have designs for every category and use case. Then you can customize your look, update content, add features to fit your unique needs. It's just a really, really cool service. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drink to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. You've probably heard about Burrow. It's a new kind of furniture company known for timeless design, durable materials, and details that make life in your space easier. Last year, they brought their expertise outside with the launch of their outdoor line, and now they're adding more must-have pieces to the collection. Dunes offers seating, dining, and lounger options, while Scout is a new folding chair upholstered in a chic woven fabric. Made of durable materials made for all seasons, weather-resistant teak, stainless alloy, quick-dry, stain-resistant cushions, love that, with easy assembly and disassembly. They also just launched a new standing desk co-pilot with adjustable height, a durable scratch-resistant body with built-in storage to make working at home easier than ever. And of course, there's Burrow's legacy seating collections like the Nomad and Range, now available in new colors. So no matter what you choose, you always get free shipping on every order, which can run up to $100 for larger items, and that is a win. You know Emma and I love our Burrow, and now that they have outdoor furniture, I'm very excited to get my lounge on. We have this balcony, and I am always looking for something to make it comfy but also look chic, you know, because it's outside, everyone can see it, and I want to look stylish while I'm bird watching. I love Burrow. It's easy to assemble. It ships free. I can't recommend them highly enough. And that's why We Drink listeners can get 15% off their first order at burrow.com/drink. That's Burrow, burrow.com/drink for 15% off. burrow.com/drink. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like when you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/drink. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Good point.
So this one is from Rachel. Rachel's title is, "My grandpa was held at gunpoint during a nuclear bomb scare." Holy shit.
What? Oh, I should also add, sorry, I forgot to say A-list subject. It's true crime and paranormal double whammy.
Oh, so, well, yes, I just yes, it was.
That it had both of our elements. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
So Rachel says, "Sup, Eva, M, Christine, fur babies, and petrified fruits. My name is Rachel. She/her pronouns. Thank you for normalizing pronouns, Rachel. And I have a grandparent story that's a bit late to Christine's request, but I felt like it was good enough to send anyways.
I love grandparent stories.
I am from Northeast Michigan, as are my grandparents. And back in the late 1900s, I don't recall the decade, I think it was between the 60s and 80s, my grandpa Pat worked at a base for airplanes up here. He was a janitor and had a pass to go into the basement of the base to clean the floors and whatnot. The basement apparently had top secret things in it, and unbeknownst to my grandpa, in the basement there was a commotion going on above ground. During the time, there had been tension with the Russian military, as Russian planes would fly over the base to see if anything suspicious was going on. At the time, nuclear bomb information/evidence had been hidden in the basement, and it was an active base for the U.S. military. So I don't know how, first of all, how Pat got clearance to even sweep the floors down there, but good for you, Grandpa Pat. So back to Pat. He was down in the basement cleaning when the scare happened. The base had gone on lockdown because, if I remember correctly, either an unknown plane had flown over or there was a threat out on the base itself. Troops swarmed the whole place, and my grandpa and his mop were kept in the basement at gunpoint till the lockdown was over, probably a couple hours. He later came home with a big old Pat story to my mom, which she ended up telling me later. That's pretty much the end, so thank you for reading, and much love to the old And That's Why We Drink gang. I sadly cannot come to your tour this year. Actually,
neither can we.
However, thank you for making the content you do. It makes me incredibly happy and interested in new things every episode. Love, Rachel.
That is bonkers. That's talk about a grandparent story. Like, oh, let me tell you about the time.
The time I was, it was during a nuclear bomb scare on base when I was sweeping and then held at gunpoint.
Truly, and here we are complaining that we can't leave our houses and we have to drink beer at home. Like,
guys, life is so hard for me right now.
You know,
I have to wear my sweatpants and look at pictures of dogs.
It's terrible.
Yes.
Our poor grandchildren. Okay. Thank you, Rachel. This next one is from Sarah, she, her. And the subject is brothers play pranks even in the afterlife.
Aww.
The subject, or I'm sorry, the story says, Hi, M, Christine, Eva, and sweet baby G, Gio, and Olive, and Lemon. I just started listening to your podcast at the suggestion of my coworker before the show you did last year in Albany. I love the listener stories and wanted to share one of my own with you, so let's crack into it. I grew up in a big family with two brothers and a sister. When I was 16, my older brother, Kevin, unexpectedly passed away in a motorcycle accident. Oh no. We had been through a lot as a family, but nothing like this. Despite everything we had been through, we would always play pranks on each other as a way to keep our spirits up. After the funeral, my parents, siblings, and myself were sitting at the kitchen table reflecting about the services and how we were all waiting for a sign from Kevin telling us he was okay. Two nights later, I was laying in bed before going to sleep and thought about how I was cold and turned off my ceiling fan before going to bed. I woke up at 2 a.m. that night freezing my ass off because my ceiling fan was turned on full blast. Now it's summer in upstate New York, so it was easily 90 degrees outside. I stumbled to the switch and turned the fan off and went back to sleep. An hour later, I woke up with my ceiling fan on again. This continued the entire night. When I woke up that morning, I immediately knew it was Kevin playing a prank on me. That night, when my dad got home from work, I was excited to tell him that Kevin really was okay. My dad gave me a confused look and told me his TV would turn on with full volume and blast over and over all night. I called my other brother to tell him about mine and my dad's experience, and he said his iPod battery, this was before iPhones, kept dying even when it was fully charged. That next night, the light in my sister's bedroom wouldn't turn on. We tried flipping the switch a few times with no luck. We went to the basement to get a new bulb, and when we got back upstairs, the light was on. There is no doubt in my mind this was my brother telling us that he was okay and would still be pulling pranks on us even in the afterlife. Oh, and you're probably wondering why he didn't do anything to our mom. The answer is simple. Growing up, she would have none of our pranks. Apparently, being a spirit doesn't stop you from being scared shitless of a pissed off mom. Anyways, that's my story. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to see you live again, Sarah.
Oh
my gosh.
That's precious. And also an inspiration for, like, the things I'm going to do when I die before you.
Thanks.
I'm going to ruin your life. I cannot wait.
Sarah, I'm so sorry for your loss. That's tragic. And I'm glad you found some comfort.
Yeah.
In a ceiling fan that kept you super cold all night.
I mean, it's also, it's very adorable that obviously, in my opinion, he wants to, like, let everyone know that he's still there. And also, he hasn't changed. He's literally like, I'm still here to piss everyone off. It's fine.
Worry about me. Yeah, I love that.
Anyway, yeah, thank you for your story.
Thank you.
So this one, my next one is from Laura, she, her pronouns, and the subject title is my personal favorite, Cat Possessed by American Jazz Legend.
Oh my.
Where is the story going, Laura?
I truly have no idea.
So Laura writes, hi, everyone. For background, my husband, Nick, is both brilliant and has always been a big old nerd. Aww. So one of his many areas of expertise is music. And when we were in high school, his mom took in a little street kitten and Nick named him Mingus after the famous American jazz musician Charles Mingus.
That's so cute.
Mingus was kind of a little asshole, but he was very cute and incredible and cute and incredibly something, but the word was not typed. and took to peeing in the human toilet by himself one day.
What?
Okay, Mingus.
Oh, would it, do you think it was incredibly, like, incredibly took to peeing?
Incredibly, I want to say incredibly weird and took to peeing in the human toilet.
Maybe they're calling it like, oh, and incredibly the cat peed in the toilet.
Maybe that is what it is. Maybe I'm just reading English wrong. Nick says that Mingus would just creep into the bathroom when you were peeing, watch you like cats do, and then eventually seem to think it was his turn or it was a good idea to try for himself.
That is incredible. I'm sorry. That's crazy.
We were all impressed with this genius cat and began to heavily judge the other two less proactive cats in the house. So other music nerds might know where I'm going with this, but years later, after Mingus the cat was a fully established member of the family, Nick learned a quirky fact about Charles Mingus, aside from writing music, was that he also authored a short manual entitled The Charles Mingus Cat Along for Toilet Training Your Cat.
What?
That's fucking wild.
Catalog?
Catalog. Like catalog, but catalog.
Oh, catalog. Okay, I'm sorry. This person sounds like M.
I absolutely would write a manual for how to toilet train your animals.
Not a manual. Cat. Okay, never mind.
A catalog.
This is why I'm not writing it.
Charles Mingus catalog for toilet training your cat.
What a very specific connection. What the fuck?
And for your cat to, like, I imagine not know this. If you can believe it, no one had any knowledge about this when naming Mingus the cat, and positively what? No one trained the cat to use the toilet. It was all a really weird coincidence. I've heard that occasionally cats will learn to do this on their own, but I like to imagine Charles Mingus, the meowsician, was pleased to have a namesake cat and decided to step in and lend a paw. Anyway, there actually is charlesmingus.com/mingus/cat-training-program in case anyone wants to check it out. Thanks for an amazing, inclusive show from Laura. P.S. While I know a lot of people still try to train their cats to use the toilet, turns out it's generally not a good idea. Cat shit is not great for plumbing systems, and said shit can contain a parasite, which is toxic to humans, and which most wastewater treatment systems aren't equipped to remove.
Interesting, because I have heard that people have told me to try and train Junie to do that, so I guess I shouldn't.
Well, now you know. Unless you're Charles Mingus, I wouldn't.
I guess I'm not, though, huh? That cat is, so what a bummer. That's
anyway,
crazy.
Thank you, Laura, for your story.
What a weirdly specific...
It's bananas.
Crazy, because I know you can train your cat. I didn't know, like, cats just did it automatically without being trained. Oh, here comes my dumb cat.
He clearly had taken the Charles Mingus class.
Junie's scratching the shit out of my armchair. Okay, this is a story from Abigail Sheher. Subject is April Fools. Not true crime or paranormal, but pretty hilarious. So,
okay,
you're saving our butts. Abigail says, "Hello, all. I hope everything is going well and you aren't going crazy with being stuck at home. I've been listening to your podcast for about a year, random episodes in no order." Oh, don't do this to me, Abigail.
Oh, poor Abigail. You don't know anything, and yet you know everything.
You know too much, somehow.
You know too much, but you don't know the timeline.
That's right, which makes it so much more chaotic, I think. But I began binge listening from the beginning when I went out of the country for spring break. I have now been in self-quarantine for about a week, and y'all are the only thing that has gotten me through. I just finished listening to your 2019 April Fool's listener episode, and Eva had picked out a story that was neither true crime nor paranormal, so I thought it would be appropriate to share this story. Last year during finals, my friend and I went to Starbucks to do some last-minute studying during lunch because it is right across from our high school. We had been there for a bit on the comfy chairs when three old men walked in. They sat on the other comfy chairs next to us and began talking about a funeral they had just come from. Side note, there's also a funeral home walking distance from our Starbucks that my family actually owns.
Huh.
And while we've had no paranormal experiences, my grandpa has some wild stories from running the place. Okay, that's for your grandpa. I don't even know if you're there yet, Abigail, but we asked for grandpa stories.
Grandpa, right in.
Yeah. So these men began talking about the guy who died, and my friend and I kind of ignored them until they got to the part about how he died. So the story goes like this. This guy, let's call him Bob, had to come home to check on some things with their house while his wife stayed in Florida for a couple more weeks. But Bob wasn't really checking on the house. He was having an affair.
Oh, no. Bob,
God damn it. Keep in mind, Bob is like 70 to 80. He was having an affair with this woman, let's call her Joan, and they were, quote, reliving their youth, or as M says, doing things we shouldn't talk about on this podcast. Okay.
I think we should talk about it. I think, you know, it doesn't matter if you're 70 or 80. You can still be morally uncouth.
I think that sounds not like something M would say, but I'm sure you've said it. But nowadays, M would say, no, let's talk about it right now.
Now that I've been told we shouldn't, I want to.
That's more right. Now that your past self has told you not to. Now it's okay. This caused Bob to then have a heart attack. Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Passed away.
Oh, this took a turn.
Yeah, quickly, huh? But as those old men said, at least he died while getting it. Oh, dear God.
Ew, he died in the middle? Oh, poor Joan. Uh-huh. Poor Joan.
Can you imagine? No. Then to make matters worse.
Also, go Joan. Sorry, go Joan.
For what? Killing him?
Sounds like they were having a great time. Great way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like he was having a little too much fun. Then to make matters worse, Joan realized that there were no phones in the house. Why? I don't know. So Joan had to do the ultimate walk of shame to the neighbors to explain the situation. By the way, the neighbors... Okay, wait, sorry. She literally says that, so I'm not going to say it myself. The neighbors to explain the situation and call the police. Neighbors, by the way, who knew that Joan was not Bob's wife.
Oh, no.
Joan and the wife both went to Bob's funeral. Sadly, my friend and I had to leave to get our next exam in times. Damn it. So we aren't sure how that turned out. But as a couple of 16-year-olds in the middle of finals, that was the most interesting part of our week. Sorry it was a bit long. I don't expect something this random to make it on the show, but thank you for reading it, Eva. You are all amazing. Abigail. Oh my God, that was so good.
Abigail, we both know I love the drama, but also like I bet Bob's wife is probably like, well, suits him well. Like, if you're gonna cheat on me, you might, like, no wonder, like, karma would kick you.
Right, like right away, like immediately. Yeah. Damn. Well, that is quite a story, and I'm very sorry about Bob's loss. But like, what a way to go out, like you said.
I mean, yeah, with a bang.
With a bang. Stupid. Oh boy. Anyway, well, thank you everyone for sending your stories in. Those were a delight. For me.
Yes, thank you so much. Happy April Fool's Day. Sounds like Bob was the ultimate fool. That's the moral of this entire episode.
The ultimate mark of shame.
Other than that, I mean, I guess enjoy your April Fool's Day. Hopefully some of us are feeling healthy and better and mentally okay, and hopefully we're all...
I hope no one uses the coronavirus to do April Fool's jokes. Like, I don't want that.
Oh my, that. Oh my goodness. If you thought about doing it, take this as your sign to not do that.
Don't do that.
But hopefully everyone's healthy. If we're all still quarantined, which I'm pretty sure we still will be, just stay snuggled up and have a good day.
We love you. And I don't have a May story because I think things are so chaotic right now that
maybe
I can't really combine.
Maybe the theme can be chaos.
I guess so. I was gonna say I can't confine this all to one little box. However, I don't necessarily want to wish upon Eva an inbox full of chaos, but I guess it kind of already is that. I don't know. You guys just take it upon yourselves.
Yeah.
This is your excuse. Send in whatever you want.
This is your fuck it, we're all isolated and the world is burning, so I'm just gonna send a story. Uh-huh. That's the theme.
Good idea. And put the subject if you want in the subject line. That makes it easier. As Emma always says, for Eva to pick stories out. So
yes.
Anyway, thanks everyone, and we love you, and happy April Fool's Day, and from two of the biggest fools in the world.
Yes. And?
That's?
Why?
We?
Drink.
Woo! Did it. It's
in. You ever meet someone who seems kind of off? Whether it's a creepy neighbor or random phone number that keeps calling you, Truthfinder has you covered. You can search for people by name, address, phone number, email, and more. Truthfinder can be especially helpful for running confidential background checks on anyone you're planning to meet from online dating apps. Go to truthfinder.com/podcasts for a special offer. That's truthfinder.com/podcasts to access your special offer today.